This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to call my friend Jonathan Colton and share some exciting news.
Why, hello, it's my good friend Ophira Eisenberg from NPR's Ask Me Another. How are you?
Good, Jonathan Colton. I want to share with you something.
Yeah?
See that?
Are those
that, my friend?
Car keys?
I bought a car.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Very exciting.
I've had two cars in the past, and those were between the ages of 18 and 21.
Just wait till you've parked it on the street in New York City for a couple of weeks.
You know, so I drove it last night, as I do, and I did some street parking. You know, New York, it's always a thing. Mm-hmm. And I parked it, and someone stuck their head out the window and said, you know, that I know it doesn't seem like it, but they tow cars from there. And I was like, thank you. So nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was a nice. They were just hanging out their window on the third floor looking at people.
Yeah. People who don't live in New York City might not know how it works, but there's this thing called alternate side parking.
The craziest thing. I'd never heard about it before.
They clean the streets on a regular basis. But the deal is when it's time for street cleaning on the right side, everybody moves their car from the right side to double park on the left side for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a guy on our block, an older gentleman who's lived there for his whole life, and he is like the mayor of the block, and he is always like coming to my door and reminding me that it's time to move the car, or like he sees a space and he's like, oh, Johnny, you want to get that space, you know? And it's great.
Oh.
And I will say also, people double park, and it doesn't necessarily look like it's double parking day. And so what happens is people will come down the street and sit behind an empty double parked car and honk their horns until...
Like, move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get
There's
going.
Nobody in the car. There's nobody in the car. They could easily go around, but they don't. And then I love to stride angrily out of my house and make the go around gesture.
Go around. See this finger? It's going to make a half circle. Do you know what that means? That means I'm stressed about this.
Count yourself lucky that I didn't use a different finger to give you the go around gesture.
You know, public radio listeners always talk about how much they miss car talk. So here you are, people. This
yeah,
is what I'm
this
saying.
Is... Why don't I play the new car talk theme that I've just now composed?
Fantastic. Yes, please.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from our respective homes in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Cars, Car Repair, Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Listeners, I just want to let you know that we hear you. You have been shouting, put 5 Emmy winners and or nominees on the same episode of Ask Me Another already. Well, you know what? We did it, okay? We have Joseph Gordon-Levitt. We have Tony Shalhoub and Lou Kirby from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. We have William Jackson Harper from The Good Place and Yvonne Orji from Insecure. So count them, everybody. 5.
Wait a minute. I was nominated for an Emmy.
That's 6.
We had 6.
And you know what? Once in high school, someone called me Emmy. So that's kind of 7.
That's 7. That's basically 7.
There we go. I am so thrilled to welcome our first two contestants, returning champion William Jackson Harper, nominated for his role as the ethicist Chidi on The Good Place, and first-time contestant Yvonne Orji, nominated for playing Molly on Insecure. Hello!
Hey!
Hello, thanks for having me.
William, I read that you found out about your Emmy nomination in the middle of a dog psychic appointment.
Wait. Yeah, so what happened was... Our dog is
Yeah, we need to hear this story.
He's not been himself lately. He's usually a very frisky, very active guy. And he's
Chico.
Just been kind of, Chico the dog. And so we called this psychic And it was like a 2-month waiting period to to talk to this woman. And we were like, okay, well, we'll try it because, you know, we'd taken him to the doctor. We tried all sorts of things just to see. We thought maybe he was upset with us. He was just bored because of quarantine. And she connected with him. And the things that she said that he was telling her through the phone were, those were the things that were actually wrong with him when we took him to the vet. And so, I mean, I was all prepared to be a skeptic, but, you know, she called it.
We have a question. I have to raise my hand. Did he just have to bark 3 times and then she, like, got into it? What?
She just said, like, when I go online with him, this is how she phrased it, his eyes might flutter and, like, go into a, sort of a trance state. And I'm sitting there.
She put a hex on him?
And I'm watching it, and he does. He comes to his bed, which he hadn't slept in months, and goes into this weird little trance state. And also, all while this is going on, my phone's blowing up with, you know, people calling, like, hey, man, congratulations, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. But here's the thing. It's like my dog is with the psychic right now, and I need to focus. And
this is a 3-month waiting list, and we finally got an appointment.
We finally got it.
So how is Chico now?
He's good. Okay. We, you know, he's on some medication, but he's good.
Did the psychic say anything about your chances are of winning the Emmy?
No. I try not to bring that into the room. This is about Chico.
Yeah.
You know.
And Yvonne, where were you when you found out?
You know, I don't say we've been let down, but we've been let down 3 years in a row. After a while, we were just like, you know, we're just making art, and whoever finds it,
it's not about the awards. It's not
the
about
expression.
Yeah,
that's right. The expression. Yeah.
So 8:30, I'm watching live. We have a group chat, so I'm texting some of the cast members, and then the show gets nominated, and I'm like, "Yo, finally!" So in my mind, I'm like, "That's the win. That's it. Like, we got the thing." And then my phone rings, and it's Sam, my publicist, and she's like, I'm so happy. I was like, I know, girl, we out here. We did it. We finally got one for the show. I was like, we finally got one for the show. She was like, no, Yvonne, like, your name. I saw your... And I was like, oh, my God. Like, and then I was literally on phones or emails until, like, 8 o'clock that night.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Of course.
And then I kept calling all my agents, like, my rate just went up.
That's right. All right. Well, that's a perfect segue into a first game about celebrating awards. Are you ready for game?
Ooh, all right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, you know, you might be thinking right now in your fantasy about what your speech will be. And there is also supposed to be some sort of Oscar ceremony next April, we've been told. But until then, we have this game. We are going to play you a clip from an Academy Award acceptance speech. A very well-known one. You are just going to name the person accepting the award or the movie they're accepting it for. Yvonne, let's try your first one. Okay, you're up. This first clip is of an actress who gets a standing ovation everywhere she goes.
When they called my name, I had this feeling I could hear half of America going, oh, no. Oh, come on, why? Her. Again. You know, but whatever.
I mean, my initial instinct is Meryl Streep, but I'm like,
yes, that's it. You always go with your initial instinct. That is correct. That is a correct. I have to say, my favorite kind of self-deprecating humor is award self-deprecating humor.
I love that she was like, oh, well, I'm just that good. Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Here we go. It's a little bit of a humble brag, too. It's like, I know everybody's sick of me getting nominated. I'm so sorry.
But I won
sick
again.
Sick of me winning these awards.
Yeah, that was for the Iron Lady.
All right, William, here is one for you. This is a clip from 2013.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
You guys are just standing up because you feel bad that I fell, and that's really embarrassing, but thank you.
Oh, that's Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, that's right. It is from Silver Linings Playbook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do like it when people, I mean, those dresses look, although it would be super fun to wear a dress like that, but they look impossible. So I appreciate that people are just like, no, I can't do it. I can't
Sometimes
walk.
You just can't walk. Yeah.
No.
This was never meant for functioning.
It's always the ones with the train. It's always the, it's
always.
I had a train 1 year and literally at some point I just had to pick it up. Because going to the restroom, standing up, it was just, excuse me. And people apologizing. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I must own this dress now because it has so many footprints. Like, this is...
That's right.
I think one of my favorite things about people falling in particular in these highly architectural dresses is how slow the fall is. It's never like a bam, you know? It's not like a little kid on a bike. It's always just like, oh, we can fix this. We can fix this. Oh, no.
No, we can't.
Yeah, you know? I love it.
All right, Yvonne, this is for you. This person is a director, and it's a super recent speech.
Thank you. I will drink until next morning. Thank you.
I love this speech. That is from Parasite. I know because I watched, and he won like 85 times that night. That is Bong Joon-ho. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, that's it. Well done.
I'll be knowing.
All right, William, this is for you. This clip is from 2014, and the movie this actress won for also went on to win Best Picture.
Thank you to the Academy for this incredible recognition. It doesn't escape me for one moment that so much joy in my life is thanks to so much pain in someone else's. Mm-hmm. And so I want to salute the spirit of Patsy for her guidance.
We needed that. We needed that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that is Lupita Nyong'o.
That is correct.
For 12 Years a Slave,
12 Years a Slave, that's right.
I just remember that speech being like, I will never be this eloquent ever in any day in my life. I was just like, whoa.
I know.
Whoa. The it was presence graceful. It was amazing.
And that was also when my mom called me and was like, your friend has won an Oscar. I was like, my friend? I don't know her, Mom. But I think Lupita went and made like my endeavors make more sense to my parents. Okay, you can do it. The Kenyan girl has won. You too can do it. And I was like, that's all it took is for someone to win an Oscar.
After the break, William and Yvonne team up for a word game about world landmarks. And we have Tony Shalhoub and Luke Kirby from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. The Perseid meteor shower is canceled because guess what? We've got the real stars right here. I'm Ophira Eisberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Technically, meteors are not stars.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and being recognized for excellence by the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'd also like to thank the Academy. We're playing games with Emmy nominees William Jackson Harper from NBC's The Good Place and Yvonne Orji from HBO's Insecure. William, Yvonne, are you ready to team up for another game?
Yes, because that one had me hot a little bit. I was like, I'm nervous.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm wearing this black t-shirt right now, because I don't want to be damp for the next thing I got to do and have everybody see it.
Zoom damp is like a very, very deep damp.
It's not a good
look. Like, yeah, it's like you should not be this worried in your house, but you are. Yeah.
So in this game, you are going to replace the first syllable of famous monuments or landmarks with a rhyming word.
Okay.
So let me give you an example.
Okay.
If I said, the British monarch lives in this London royal residence, along with a bird with webbed feet that floats on water? You would answer, Duckingham Palace, changing the first syllable of Buckingham to duck.
Would Cluckingham also work?
I'd take it. I'd take
it. I would probably accept it. We're pretty easy.
All right.
All right. This seaside building in Australia's largest city is topped with rows of sail-shaped concrete shells. If you use your two legs, six arms, and two tentacles to snatch up tickets, you can go see the all-calamari rendition of Carmen before it sells out.
I'm going to phone a friend, William. I'm phoning you.
Oh,
so what,
oh
do, you, what, do, you ha- what okay. do you have for largest city in Australia?
I have Sydney.
Great. And then what's the most obvious arts center?
The Opera House. The Sydney Opera House?
Oh, Squidney Opera House?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey.
That's right.
Squid. Yeah. No, you almost got me. I was just like, tarantula? Me Opera House?
That's good.
Tarantula Opera House.
Ask me another.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. Think you're gassy? Well, this medieval structure in Italy got its signature tilt from being stuffed with too many of these legumes, including cannellini, fava, and pinto.
It's the Leaning Tower, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The Beanie Tower?
That is correct. The Beanie Tower of Pisa. Yeah. You got it.
Okay. Yay. I like this game.
All right. Here's your next one. Although we don't know the exact significance of this prehistoric circular structure in England, many archaeologists speculate that it was built to honor these celebrities who all have the same first name: Ms. Rivers, Jett, Cusack, Crawford, Didion, and of Arc.
Joan Henge. I felt so good.
Right in the pocket there.
No one felt good.
All right, here's another one. I find this one hard. We'll see if you guys get it. This site of ancient Inca ruins in Peru was excavated in the early 1900s. Archaeologists found skeletons, dwellings, along with the famous undergarment Katy Perry used to launch whipped cream.
Oh.
You talk it out if you have the pieces.
Okay.
Machu Picchu, right?
So far, so good.
Whipped cream.
We're looking for an undergarment.
Brachu Picchu.
That is right.
Lord, I feel like y'all owe me a dollar for that one.
That answer is the reason this game is here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm slightly judging you, William. I have more questions than you have answers.
All right, we have one more. This 13,000-mile-long ancient landmark was one of the largest construction projects ever undertaken. With sweeping views of the countryside, it is the perfect place to film TikToks of you riding on shoes with four wheels.
The Wall of China?
Skate Wall of China.
Yes! Oh, that was a beautiful collaboration.
It was a team effort. I love it.
Perfect!
William, this is your game. Like, forget taboo. We're going to come over to his house, and he's going to be like, ask me another. And it's like, wait, what are you talking about?
Look, you ask me a bunch of nonsense, I will give you nonsense back.
Just remember, brachu. That's all I need to say to you. That's all I need to say to you. That was so much fun. Thank you so much, William Jackson Harper. Thank you so much. It's so nice meeting you, Ivana.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Our next two contestants won Emmys for their roles on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and they've been nominated again this year. Tony Shalhoub, Luke Kirby, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi, great to be here.
Hello.
So nice to see you, and also congratulations on season 4 being officially announced.
It's happening.
Has any of the production happened?
No.
Zero, okay.
No. I mean, I'm assuming the writers are.
Writing.
I've been shooting for months.
I've been fired and they didn't tell me. It's possible.
that happens.
It's all possible.
That happens in this business.
So I assume you both met each other on the set of this show.
Whoops, everybody's frozen.
Tony, for me, is frozen. Is he
frozen?
Yeah,
me too.
Okay, Tony, you're totally frozen.
frozen.
I thought he was just playing it cool, but I guess he's frozen.
He's very still.
Oh, he's gone.
He bailed. Way to go, guys.
I've heard he's the toughest interview around.
Oh, my God.
Well, I guess we'll see if he comes back.
Sure.
Luke, I wanted to say, I'm from Calgary, by the way. I grew up in Calgary.
Oh, yeah, right on. did you go to...
Here we go.
Did you go to Winston Churchill?
No, I went to Western Canada. But I had friends that went to Winston Churchill.
All right, let's name them.
Okay.
Okay, Peter Oldring?
Yes, of course.
Really?
Of course.
Is that a person or a place?
Yeah, Peter Oldring is a great actor, and he's an improviser. Yeah, he's a great improviser and actor, and he's sort of infamous. He was very close friends and like of a ex-boyfriend of mine.
Who was your boyfriend, may I ask?
Albert Howell.
Oh my God, I know Albert Howell also. In fact, I was in LA and I was staying at Peter's house and so was Albert Howell.
Oh no.
And we talked so much about you. should we, is right, what about Semi Cellis? Do you know her?
Semi Cellis. I took an acting class. I took a Meisner class, Jacqueline McClintock's Meisner class with Semi Cellis.
I took a class with Jacqueline in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
Semi Cellis? You guys are just making up these names now. This is not...
Jonathan, apologies.
No, this is... No, listen, Luke, this is great because Jonathan went to Yale and all of his friends that are famous, including him, went to Yale and I have to hear them catch up all the time. And finally, it's happening for me. Tony went to Yale, says our producer.
Yeah, see?
Tony, you're back.
I'm sorry, but I had a little I think my internet just kind of went out for a second there.
All right. Well, Tony, did you go to Yale by any chance?
I did. I went, I went not to undergrad, but I went there for graduate school.
I wish I went to Yale.
I wish I went to Yale. You went to the National Theater School. That's
I wish you had gone to Yale, too. Terrible thing to say.
Sure. Yeah.
I went to McGill. I just want to let you all know that.
I know.
Troy.
Kamala Harris's mother taught at McGill.
Really? I did not know that.
I took a yoga class with Kamala Harris's mother.
You did not.
No, I did not. No.
So everybody's watching television right now. And I even feel like, you know, even parents who have strict TV rules have let their kids watch TV during this time. I'm one of them. I have a four-year-old. He's watching television a little bit more than I like. Tony, as a kid, am I right in saying that your father did not want you guys to have a television and you didn't have one in your house till you were like 8 or 10?
Yeah, we were sort of the last house on the block to get TV.
Wow.
And my father, he just didn't want it around. You know, there were a lot of us. I have a lot of siblings, and I think he loved that thing where he would come home from work, he would just get swarmed by all these, you know, critters would come and hug him and make a fuss over him. He liked that. And then finally, when we did get TV, he would come home and he would just like stand there in the doorway, nothing.
Because
everybody was glued to the set. It was really sad. Yeah. I feel bad for him now, but.
Yeah, they're like, we have a new parent.
Yeah, that's right.
And there, you say a swarm of you because you are...
I'm one of 10.
One of 10.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Where do you fall in the middle? Or
I'm the second youngest. Youngest boy, but the second youngest of 10, so number 9.
Luke, were you allowed to watch television growing up?
Sort of. I mean, my mother had a thing where she would come home from work and feel the back of the TV.
Oh, yeah, that old trick.
And I don't, but you know, so we never, I don't think we ever tried to like outsmart her.
You didn't like shove a cooler up on the back of it?
No.
Blow on it?
No.
Bags of ice.
And Tony, you know, obviously you play the father figure, Abe. I see my father in Abe in some ways because of the way that he is so desperate to hang on to his authority, I would say.
Yeah, I see a lot of my father in Abe, too. And also, I think, interestingly, you know, like Abe, you know, my father and a lot of those guys at that time, there was a point, you know, when they reached their mid-50s or early 60s where they really did kind of have these midlife crises, you know, and they're struggling with the ideas of what am I qualified to do? What do I really want to do? What happened to my passions? What happened to my...
Right.
What happened to my youth?
Yeah, you know, I'm the youngest of six. And when I was in junior high, I remember that my mom bought a moped. And I felt like that was her being like, I have never done anything for myself. Because she had kids from like 18 to 42.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, sure, she had a moped.
That's so interesting. My mother, a similar thing happened after being, you know, years of laundry and cooking and housewifing. And she got a job. She went out and got herself a job. And there were only like two of us left at home at this point.
Yeah.
And she didn't drive. That's a whole nother Zoom conversation. Let's not talk about that. She never learned to drive. But she loved riding her bike to work. So she was like this woman, grandmother, you know, mother, and riding her like
riding
little
her
Schwinn
bike
to her little shop, her little boutique shop. And I mean, that was her like easy rider minus 100, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was her freedom. It was her freedom. Yeah. All right. We have a couple great games for you. Would you like to play a couple games?
Sure.
Yeah.
So in the mid-20th century, studios like Cornet and Centron and Britannica and Disney pumped out dozens of educational films. I don't know if you remember watching any of these kinds of films in school.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, which one do you remember? Any of the plots?
Oh, there were so many. They
yeah.
were about, you know, industry and about agriculture and all
yes.
of this, all of this stuff, yeah.
I have one that I remember, and it was about not lying or shirking your duties.
I think I auditioned for that.
Did you get a callback? Did you get a callback?
No,
no, you didn't. Okay, so we're going to play a clip of a vintage educational film. You just have to guess what is the subject of the movie, but we have multiple choice for you.
Oh, good.
Okay, Luke, this one is for you. This clip is from a 1961 Disney cartoon.
We're the spirits of progress, and we advise you to pay some undivided attention while we help you with your great invention. Find yourself a log. Here's what you do. Slice off a slice. Yeah, better make it two.
Okay, is that cartoon about A, making sandwiches out of wood, B, the advantages of capitalism, or C, the invention of the wheel?
I think it's a sandwich. It's a Canadian hoagie.
That's right.
No, I think that I should go with the obvious. It's the wheel of progressivism.
It's the wheel. Yeah. In this movie, by the way, Donald Duck is a caveman.
A cave duck.
Cave duck.
Yeah.
And finally, you understand why no pants.
That's a good point. All right, Tony, this one is for you. What is this 1946 Encyclopedia Britannica film about?
Letters are most important, so Mr. Dolan sorts them first. Now Mr. Dolan sorts the magazines and newspapers and packages.
So is this film about A, the importance of paying your bills on time, B, the life of a mailman, or C, what Kurt Vonnegut dreams about?
Wow. I'll have to say, because it actually, as it turns out, when I was, I think I was 18 or 19, I had a summer job. I worked in the post office.
No kidding.
Yes, I did.
Was that an enjoyable job?
It was, actually. I didn't get to drive around and deliver mail. I actually worked in the building sorting mail and taking long lunch breaks and things like that.
Did you ever meet Mr. Dolan?
No. I'm going to go with the post office employee.
You are absolutely correct.
That's amazing.
That is what it's about.
Not to be too topical, but may I say, Mr. Dolans of the world unite.
Luke, this film is from 1950. Here we go.
Yes, sir. Father and mother do a good job of working together, like a team. And Tommy would like to be on that team.
But Mommy and Daddy won't allow it.
Is this film about A, appreciating your parents, B, preparing for your appearance on Family Feud, or C, that divorce can happen when you least suspect it?
I mean, it's clearly propaganda for conscription, let's be honest. But with a little wink, I'll say it was A.
Yeah, it's working together like a team. Yeah. You know what? My family, we do not work together like a team. We work together like a struggling nonprofit, I would say.
All right, this is going to be the last one. Tony, this is for you. What is this 1953 film trying to help you deal with?
His mother isn't home yet, so he can't talk to her. But he can make a funny picture of his aunt, and that makes him feel better.
Wow. Is this film helping you deal with A, keeping yourself entertained, B, anger management, or C, the basics of drawing caricatures?
Is there a D?
It's all of the above.
I mean, sure.
Well, I was going to say anger management.
You are absolutely correct. It is anger management.
Oh, no. I was really, I said anger management. Yeah. To intentionally to be wrong.
We anticipated that you would do that, and so we gave you this question, which is a particularly difficult question.
That's how you deal with anger? You draw your...
Well, if you, I think what we're not hearing, I think, is that he maybe had an argument with his aunt.
Oh, I thought it was his aunt, like his pet aunt, like an aunt.
To be fair, that could be what it is. I don't know.
If I went into a young boy's room and the walls were just covered of funny pictures of small ants, I would be very, very worried.
You'd be disturbed. I think this kid is managing his anger too much.
You guys did great.
Tell us what we won.
Our respect and appreciation.
We'll have more with Tony Shalhoub and Luke Kirby after the break. And you know him from Third Rock from the Sun, The Dark Knight Rises, and 500 Days of Summer. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm Ophira Eisberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Why is everyone so obsessed with traditional wives or trad wives on social media? This week, we're talking about the viral videos of women making marshmallows and mozzarella from scratch, and how behind the sheen of calm kitchens and cute fits, there's some interesting pessimism about our modern world. And that's worth digging into. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Jasmine Morris here from the StoryCorps podcast. Our latest season is called My Way. Stories of people who found a rhythm all their own and marched to it throughout their lives. Consequences and other people's opinions be damned. You won't believe the courage and audacity in these stories. Hear them on the StoryCorps podcast from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with actors Tony Shalhoub and Luke Kirby from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Are you ready for another game?
Let's do this.
Okay. This game is called Must Love Dogs. So what we've done is we've created dating profiles for animals. Your job is to name the animal that's looking for love.
Great.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to start with you, Tony. I'm a Cancer. Looking for a Virgo to go on long sideways crawls on the beach. I've got a hard shell, but if you butter me up, I'll melt in your mouth. No flakes, no fakes.
Ooh, take me to Ocean City.
That's a crab.
That's a crab. That's a crab looking for love.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's sweet, right?
Yeah. We were trying to remember this. What do they make the imitation crab out of? Is it just any kind of fish? Does anybody know?
I think it's ocean loaf.
Ocean loaf. It's a multi fish product.
Yeah. Brine mold.
I think it's just bleached chicken.
I used to love that stuff. I used to get a Subway seafood sub.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing would be gone in an instant.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
tasty.
I think I'd even, ask for, extra mayo on it. Sure. Disgusting.
Yeah, a long tube of mayo and a slightly sweet.
You don't really even have to chew it then. Just slide it right down.
Yeah.
Luke, here's one for you.
Okay.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rainforest? I'm 20 to 30 feet long, and I aim to please and squeeze, winky face. I'm a snake who don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
You are an anaconda.
An anaconda, you are correct.
All right, Tony, this one's for you. Desperately seeking stagnation, I'm looking to take things slow. Let's stay in bed and sleep up to 15 hours a day. And if you're into feet, I've got weird ones. 3 toes per foot, baby.
Is it a sloth?
It is a sloth.
Wow, I just pulled that out of the air.
Supposedly, they require a very specialized diet, a constantly warm and humid environment, and they need to spend a lot of time suspended by high branches. So they're needy.
A lot of work.
They sound like actors.
Yes, really.
Exactly.
All right, this is the last one. It's for you, Luke.
Yeah.
Underwater male sub in search of dom female who will make me do the labor. Looking for a long-term monogamous thing where you lay eggs in my pouch and I birth up to 2,000 of your babies. Let me ride in on myself as your aquatic knight in shining armor.
I gotta go.
I had one of these as a child.
Did you really?
But it was dead. I just had a kind of dried up.
You had a dried one of these.
A dried up sea horse.
What did you do to it?
A sea horse. That is correct.
I ate it.
This was amazing. You did great. Again, thank you so much. Thank you, Tony Shalhoub. Thank you, Luke Kirby. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you kindly. What a blast.
That was fun.
Our next guest starred on the sitcom Third Rock from the Sun and in movies like 500 Days of Summer and Inception. He founded the online creative platform Hit Record, and he's in the new Netflix movie Project Power. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hello. How's it going?
Good.
Okay.
So I recently learned that your parents met working at a listener-supported radio station.
Yes. KPFK in Los Angeles. Yep. Even further to the left than NPR. I'm proud of it.
Was radio a big part of your childhood growing up?
I mean, there was that story of knowing that they met at that public radio station. By the time I was born, they no longer worked there. K-Rock was really important to me when I was in high school. That's probably the biggest interaction I had with radio.
Your acting career started when you were super young. I mean, at the age of 5, you are getting jobs doing commercial work, local and national TV commercials for Sunny Jim Peanut Butter and Cocoa Puffs and
Wait,
Pop-Tarts.
I like how you say Sunny Jim Peanut Butter as if anybody's heard of that.
I didn't hear about it, but I was like, that's what it's
called. No one knows what that is. My line was, Sunny Jim, it's good. That was
That's all you need.
The commercial was set in the 20s, and we were dressed up like the little rascals, you know, with like too much pomade in our hair, and it was raining. So sitting under fake rain and just marveling at the fact that they made it rain in this soundstage. And then the bit went that I opened the jar of peanut butter and the rain stopped and the sun came out. That was the commercial.
Sunny Jim.
Yeah.
So I just find that there's this presumption with showbiz kids that you grow up fast, you mature quickly because you're in a business at a young age. And, you know, just that matched with the fact that the character you played on Third Rock from the Sun, Tommy, was a old man alien trapped in a teenage body. You played this character.
You've really watched the show.
You were a teenager.
Yeah, it was my whole adolescence, 13 to 19.
Oh, my goodness.
All my teenage years, that show.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, did you feel like you related more to the character trapped within the alien body rather than the teenager?
Yeah, I mean, both. And that it was appropriate for me to play that role in that way, because part of me was precocious. Part of me was completely immature and a really late bloomer and you know, just wondering what it would be like to kiss a girl and, you know, just normal teenager things, I guess.
Right. No wonder you got the role. It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's a coincidence. It's probably really true.
And then things really took off. I mean, you had huge breakout roles. You became a household name. I mean, Angels in the Outfield, 10 Things I Hate About You, but Third Rock from the Sun. In 2000, you decided to attend Columbia University. You were studying history, literature, French poetry.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, I just wanted to, I wanted to do something more normal, and all my friends were sort of heading off into the world and being like, what am I going to do? And I think I envied that that wide open sense of possibility. And so I just wanted to go to college and say, like, well, who knows what I'll be? I don't know. I might not keep acting. I might want to do something else. But it really didn't take very long before I started missing it a lot. And, you know, and I started dressing up and doing stupid things just to get out that kind of need for, I don't know, exhibitionism or self-expression or whatever it is that actors have inside them that makes us want to do that. And
were you like deciding to put on a persona or character costume in everyday life?
Yeah, kind of. More like nightlife. Like, I didn't go to class that way. But, you know, but at night, if there was a wig around, that might, you know, accompany an accent, or I don't know, you know, just being goofy.
Yeah, just a wig and an accent when you're going out at that. That's what everybody does. It's totally normal.
Right. So you knew, you were like, oh, maybe not French literature. Maybe I'm enjoying this.
I guess so. Maybe I should look into this. Yeah, it was pretty soon. And then the nail in the coffin was when I got Final Cut Pro, which is video editing software.
Yeah.
And this is for my 21st birthday. So this is like 2002. I was just staying up all night editing, and I'd have papers that I was supposed to write for college, and I'd be saying, you know, I could write this paper or I could keep editing this video. And soon thereafter, I dropped out of college.
What were you shooting at the time?
Just nothing. Just like, I was just carrying around. It's funny actually now, because it's become the norm. One day I really want to go and get all that footage and like put it into Instagram stories, because it's exactly that, except it's like, this is an Instagram story from the summer of 2000, which there's not that many of those.
Yeah, and you had to spend about like 4 hours putting it together, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
It wasn't just like, I don't know, this is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were saying that with Final Cut Pro, and that you were kind of, you know, making what we now think of Instagram stories a long time ago. Also, I mean, I feel like this is ahead of its time. You launched Hit Record in 2005, which is an online space, and you invite people to be creative and work together and collaborate on projects.
That's exactly right. I mean, it was a little bit before it was so easy to post stuff online, and Hit Record just became this little mantra of mine. It's like the red record button became a symbol, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to push that button. I'm going to start making stuff. But this community gradually started to form.
There was one that I found very cathartic. So did the people making it, of course, of people with their kids and just in general, all kind of howling and screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of a primal scream.
His dad put up a video of he's there with his like two toddler boys, which I relate to because I have two young boys, and they're screaming.
Yeah.
And he has his guitar, but he's not trying to cheer them up with the guitar. He's just like, he's leaning into how they're feeling and just like playing metal on his acoustic guitar. And his boys are just screaming along with it. And so that video, it just felt like how we were all feeling. And so we're like, okay, let's all do this together. I played drums. We, you know, there was some guitar, some bass, some like lots of screaming. And it turned into this kind of weird family scream therapy metal song thing. And it helps to get the demons out.
All right. How would you feel about an Ask Me Another challenge?
I very much am looking forward to this.
Excellent. So our next game is in honor of your famous needle drop in 500 Days of Summer, your dance numbers set to Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams, complete with a marching band and a cartoon bird. This is a nice thing to watch right now, by the way. If anyone wants a lovely sense of relief and what it's like to do things with large groups of crowds and feel joy.
Yeah, that's remember true. Those days?
I have to go back to that. Yeah, I haven't watched it during that. It's a good point.
So we have rewritten popular songs to make them about the movie scenes that they are featured in. So just name the movie that I'm singing about, or you can name the song, or you could name the artist, or just say something generally charming and we'll give you a point for that.
Okay.
Very low stakes around here.
Okay.
I like generally charming.
Just generally charming.
Don't be too specific.
Don't oversell it.
Yeah, too charming, we take a point away.
That's right. Okay, here we go. They say it's February 2, but that was yesterday, tomorrow too. Those morning DJs must be wrong, but they keep playing the same damn 60s song here. I got stuck here. I'm still stuck here.
All right, that's I Got You Babe by Sonny and Cher from Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, that's
yes.
right.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. I need a brand new escort while my husband and I are apart.
I know what this is.
So John Travolta's with me at this 50s diner dressed up smart. Now there's a twisting contest to talk them into taking part. We win the first place trophy and later he'll restart my heart.
That's Pulp Fiction. I don't know what, let's see, what's the name of that song? I don't know that I know the name of it or the artist, to be honest. I know that's the scene from Pulp Fiction where John Travolta and Uma Thurman dance together.
You are correct. Yep. I would not have known the name of this song either. It is You Never Can Tell by Chuck Berry.
It's Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah. Chuck Berry.
By the way, thanks for keeping these movies to the 90s because I don't pay any attention to pop culture these days now that I'm a dad, and I would fail miserably if you played a popular movie from these days.
What's going on in your house? Are you doing Thomas the Train? Is it
haven't
Blaze?
Done Thomas the Train.
Paw Patrol?
I'm going to sound like a snob, but do you know Totoro, the Miyazaki Totoro?
Enough.
I'm sorry, I know, I warned you, I'm going to sound like a snob. I'm snobby about what I let my kids watch.
Yeah.
That's true. They watch Totoro over and over. They also watch, we like find cool things on YouTube. We'll sit, we have like our time each day where they can watch videos.
Yep.
And, there's a funny YouTube channel that's just time-lapse photography of things going rotten. You get to see mold
awesome.
And maggots and things like that. They like that.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I feel like that just makes you feel better about everything.
Exactly.
Natural, everybody.
All right, here's your next one. Staten Island wakes, the credits roll as Melanie and Joan ferry with giant hair.
Nope, I don't know it at all.
Joan Cusack, does that help on a ferry? Yeah.
Cusack and Melanie Griffith. Is this a movie from the 80s?
I don't know it.
Going to work.
Going to work.
That's a really good help. That's a really good hint.
There was a movie called Working Girl. Is that
that's
what you're
it?
Talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, that yeah, one. Yeah.
That's only just because of the hint you gave me. I didn't know the song at all.
I'm just gonna say I loved that movie at the time. Does not hold up, but Joan Cusack and Melanie Griffith are amazing.
Yeah, sure.
True.
I should say the song was "Let the River Run" by Carly Simon.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. This is your last one. We're at a Catskills resort, and this music. music doesn't fit the time, but we do the big lift. Jerry Orbach still looks mad.
Yeah, that's Time of My Life. I don't know the name of the artist, but that's from Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing, that's right. Correct.
I always get Dirty Dancing and Footloose mixed up, so I almost did that wrong. Right?
I mean, they're dirty both dancing. About dirty. They're both about dancing. I can totally
coming
see.
Of age and come dancing. That's yeah. Right.
So another Kevin Bacon, Patrick Swayze.
That's right.
He's yeah.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. that was The Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes.
Okay.
You did amazing. You did amazing all round. You did amazing all round. Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to have been here, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's latest movie, Project Power, is streaming now on Netflix. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Andrew Kane, Mike Nothnagel, Kara Weinberger, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Rebel Wood. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thank you to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, from Hulu's Rami, we'll have Golden Globe winning actor and comedian Rami Youssef. He'll tell us what we can expect in season 2 of the series. Plus, friend testants and comedians Roy Wood Jr. and Jimmy O. Yang drop in to chat about their new show, Netflix's Space Force. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games, not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.